sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. This is Messages on Demand.
And our Father, we thank You today for Your many blessings, for all that You have done for us. Father, now we ask Your anointing upon the Word as it goes forth. Father, that it would touch lives wherever it may be heard. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. As I was preparing this message, I looked back to see if I had preached a similar message. Didn't find that I had prepared the message, and as I was saving it on my computer, as far as the notes, I realized, yes, I had, only 11 months earlier, back in October of 2016. But you know what? God has a purpose and a reason that we share this message with you again today, and it's not the same message. I looked at the notes and it's different, even though some of the references may be the same. So let's get into the Word. Many years ago, there was a song that was sung in churches, and quite honestly, I haven't heard that song, I don't believe, in more than 50 years. And I was surprised when I tried to find the words to it on the internet. I found it quite easily. Found it was in the Celebration Hymnal, which was published in 1979, which is only 20 years ago. And I thought, that's strange, because even then we used Celebration Hymnal in our church. And I had never noticed that that song was in there. And I'm not going to share the verses of the song, because I don't remember any of them anyway. But I do want to share the chorus, because that is what deals with the word that we have today. And that chorus was, I'll go where You want me to go, dear Lord. Or mountain, or plain, or sea. I'll say what You want me to say, dear Lord, and I'll be what You want me to be. And I remember many times as that song was sung in our churches years ago, and perhaps someone that's listening to me still sings that song. But I remember how the Spirit begin to touch our hearts as we would sing the words to that song. And I begin to wonder, why don't we hear that song anymore? And I realized we just might get convicted if we sang that chorus. Now, the word convicted is a word that we don't hear in church very often anymore either. Because the dictionary definition of the word convicted is to impress with a sense of guilt. Impress with a sense of guilt. So in essence, we just might feel guilty about something that God is trying to speak to us to do. If we say, I'll go what You want me to do, where You want me to go, dear Lord. I'll say what You want me to say. I'll be what You want me to be. The Holy Spirit might convict us if we sang the words to that song. And by the way, conviction has to do also with those people needing salvation that don't have Jesus Christ in their heart. The conviction of the sin that they are living in. Conviction is when we are doing something that we shouldn't be doing, and the Holy Spirit convicts us and tells us, and we feel guilty because we have done it. I recall a person from my youth who told me that they couldn't sing this song because they were afraid that God might call them to be a missionary. And sometimes we steer away from things because we're afraid that God might speak to us. Have we become a people that who wants God to do something, but we want Him to use someone else? God, please do this. Please meet this need. Please touch that life. But use another individual. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll be what you want me to be. All three of those things can be tough sometimes when God speaks to us. After I had completed researching this message, had it down, was ready to record, my wife and I went out for lunch. And an incident had occurred in the restaurant just prior to the time we arrived. In fact, was just concluding when we got there and were seated. And we found out some information about it. And some people had not liked the server they had simply because of the color of his skin. They complained about him, about the restaurant, about the food. Got the manager to comp their food so they didn't have to pay for it. Got up and walked out laughing. And my wife was looking at that particular table from where she was seated. Overheard some of the stuff. And she talked to the server who was serving that table. And she could tell that he was hurt over what had happened. The meal hadn't been paid for. He didn't get his tip. And I know some people think that a tip is something extra you give them. It's not. At least here in America, it's not. Because their minimum wage is $2.38 an hour or something like that. So that tip goes a long way. And we spoke to the server that had been serving that table a couple of times. As we were getting ready to leave, my wife told me, she says, I feel I should give him the tip for that table that he was cheated out of. God began to speak to her heart. And quite frankly, we really didn't have the extra money. We had other plans. And we're not rich people. But God spoke to her heart, give him the tip. We had no idea how much the bill was. But she called him over after we had paid for our meal, given our server their tip. And she said, I want to speak to him. He came over, puzzled as to why she had called him over. And she said, I want to give you the tip that you were cheated out of. She said, I don't know really how much it was, but I want to give you this tip. And she gave him a tip at what she estimated it might have been for that table. As she handed him the money, he said, you don't have to do this. And she said, no, I don't, but I want to. He thanked her. The other server, the one that was our server, came over, told us, thank you for doing that. My point here is, God spoke to her heart to do that. And quite frankly, we could have probably used that money ourselves. But God spoke to her heart to do it. And she was obedient and she did it. Now, there may be someone that's listening to me, oh, hold on, he's getting ready to take an offering. No, we don't take offerings on this program. We don't do that. We don't ask you to send us money. We leave that up to God. But she had been spoken to by the Holy Spirit. She did what God spoke to her heart to do, which basically here, I'll do what you want me to do. You see, we could add other lines to that. I'll be what you want me to be. I can do what you want me to do. There are a number of people in the Bible that God spoke to that had to answer. In fact, in Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 2, we find the patriarch, who is not yet the patriarch at that time, Abraham. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 22, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." And I want you to pause for just a moment here, because in King James Version it says God did tempt Abraham. I looked it up, and tempt can be translated, and is in many other versions, as prove or test. So we could say God did test Abraham. And Abraham says, "Here am I." And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." God is testing Abraham's obedience. Now you got to look back a moment here, because God has told Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, verse 5 through 6, "Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make of thee nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee." Now at this time, Abraham didn't even have a child. They had no children, and they were getting up in age. But God promised Abraham a son in his old age, if Abraham would follow him. And now God is asking Abraham to sacrifice that son. Well, if you go ahead and you read on in chapter 22, you find that Abraham was obedient to what God had said. He took Isaac, some of his servants, materials, so on, and they set out on their journey. And Abraham, his son Isaac, journeyed up the mountain to the point where God told them to go. Abraham prepares to sacrifice his only son. And you know what? This is a type and shadow of things that's to come, because God, the Father, sacrificed his only son on the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of our sin. And it says then in verse 11 of chapter 22, "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said," this is the angel speaking, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Abraham was obedient to the voice of God. Now we know that God doesn't require us to sacrifice our children in the sense of taking them up and offering them up as a burnt sacrifice on an altar. Then there was Moses, one of the great leaders of the Old Testament, revered unto this day by the Jewish people along with Abraham. Moses, who as a baby was born basically with a price on his head, because Pharaoh had said in Exodus chapter 1 to kill all the newborn boy babies of the Hebrew people. Kill them. Don't let them live. But yet Moses is spared. He's taken out of the water and that his mother had hid him in the basket. rescued by Pharaoh's daughter and taken to the palace where he spends the first 40 years of his life, living in the lap of luxury. Till one day he sees a fellow Hebrew being abused and he slays the Egyptian who's doing it. He now again has a price on his head. He's wanted for murder. He flees the country where he spends the next 40 years on the backside of the desert tending sheep. Then in Exodus chapter 3, verses 2 through 4, we find this. And this happens around 1491 BC. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Here am I. He recognized within his spirit that this was God speaking to him out of the midst of this burning bush out here on the backside of the desert. And sometimes God may speak to us through some of the strangest things. A bush burning in the desert is not uncommon, but to continue to burn and not be consumed just doesn't happen. Moses replied, Here am I. As a result of his replying to the Lord, Here am I, Moses went on to lead the children of Israel, God's people, out of the land of Egypt for a 40-year period until they reached the edge of the River Jordan, where later they crossed over under the leadership of Joshua and conquered the promised land, a land that God had promised them that they would have, a land that was flowing with milk and honey. Because Moses was obedient, he was one of the great leaders of the children of Israel. And roughly 300 years later, roughly 1165 BC, there was a woman by the name of Hannah who was barren, and she cried out before God for a child and she told God, if you'll just give me a child, if you'll give me a child, I'll dedicate that child to the service of God. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, we find she's been given this child, and Hannah is fulfilling the promise that she made to God. And in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. There was little communication between God and man. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. You've got to remember here at this time, Samuel is still a child. And he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Here am I, Lord. Here am I. Speak, Lord. I hear you. Do we today hear God when He speaks to us? And He may not speak to us in a voice that we hear audibly. He may speak to us that only in a voice that we only hear in our spirit and in our mind. He may speak to us through some other event, as the burning bush, for example. He may speak to us in some strange way like that, but are we open to the voice of God when He speaks to our heart? Do we hear what God has to say? And are we willing to say, "Here am I, Lord"? Roughly 400 years after this event, God speaks to a man by the name of Isaiah. Isaiah, who is considered to be the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, roughly 758 B.C. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And His train filled the temple, and above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, with twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." I think about that today. God is speaking, "Whom shall I send? Who will go?" Are we willing to say, "Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am, God. Send me. Use me." Too many times, it seems like all we do is we go to church and we listen to the worship songs, as they call them now, and we may participate in that, and we listen to the message, and we may feel God speaking to our heart, but then we get up and we go home and we forget all about what happened until we go back the next service, generally a week later. But it's God speaking to our hearts. Are we responding to what God has to say to us today? Are you crying out, "Here am I. Use me, Lord. Here am I"? And you know, the interesting thing is, and I think it's the great thing, is God can use anyone of any age in any place if you'll let Him. He can use the person that we think may be the most unlikely person for God to even consider using, but He can use them if we will let Him. But so many times we don't want to let God use us. In the New Testament, there's a man by the name of Saul, and I know we spoke on this in a previous message just recently about Stephen. Saul, the one who was standing there, and they laid their coats at his feet as they stoned Stephen to death. Saul, who was very learned in the word of the Old Testament. Saul, who was an advocate to get rid of this group of people that they called the people at that time, they called the people of the way, those that were preaching Jesus Christ. He was an advocate, a staunch supporter, a doer and getting rid of that group of people. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 3, we find it says, "But Saul made havoc of the church, and entered into every house, and drew out both men and women, and put them into prison." He had the authority from the Jewish council, from the priests, to enter into the house of the Jewish people, draw out those who were suspected of being people of the way, throwing them into prison, stopping this movement that was taking place. Then in chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any that were of the way, of that way, either men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem." In other words, wherever there was a synagogue, Saul asked the authority and was granted the authority to go and bind those people, bring them back to Jerusalem, where they would be imprisoned because of their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, a few verses later here in chapter 9, we learn that Saul has a personal encounter with Jesus as he's on the road to Damascus. And we find that he then gives his heart and life to Jesus Christ. He's now become a Christian. He's now become one of those people. But he's led into the city blind. And there, we're told in Acts chapter 9, verse 10, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Then in verse 13, "Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Moreover, here he has authority of the high priest to bind all that call on thy name." In other words, Ananias is saying to God, "God, this guy's a bad guy. I mean, he's imprisoned a lot of your people. He's wreaking havoc upon the church. He's trying to destroy us. He's trying to get rid of all of us. He wants to get us out of the way." So think about it. God has just spoken to Ananias and told him to go pray for the very man that has come to the city with the mission of destroying the people of the way, or the church. That would be like us today being sent to the leader of ISIS or some other terrorist group who's trying to wipe out Christianity, and I'm saying, Jesus sent me here to pray for you. How do you think that would go over if we walked up to one of these terrorists and said, Jesus sent me here to pray for you? You'd probably have your head separated from your shoulders real quick. And I wonder what Ananias really thought. But here's the thing, even though he was suspicious, even though he had reservations here, he was obedient and said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And we find that he went and did what God spoke to him to do. You might say, well, what's your point with all of this? Well, I want you to know that God still speaks to us today. He speaks to us, but then the question is, do we listen? And if we listen, do we answer? Because many times we may hear God speaking to us, and we are convicted in our spirit, but we refuse to answer God. So the question is then, is your answer, I'm just going to ignore what God is saying? Or are we going to say, Here I am, send me. Here I am, use me. God will use you today if you will let Him. Does that mean He's going to call you to preach if you respond that way? Not necessarily. In fact, most likely not. Is He going to call you to do something else that may put you out of your comfort zone at some time? Yes, that's a possibility. In fact, it's very likely that if you listen to the voice of God and you do what God speaks to you to do, at some point you're going to be put out of your comfort zone. But oh, the blessing, the feeling that you get when you've been obedient to the voice of God and He's spoken to you and you have done what God spoke to your heart to do. I want you to think about it. Did everything work out hunky-dory for all of these people? No. I don't know what happened to Ananias after this. I don't know what happened to some of the other folks after this. We know what happened to Moses. He led the children of Israel. God took him home before he crossed the Jordan. We know that Abraham died at a ripe old age. We know Samuel died at a ripe old age, but he went through some tough times in his life. Saul, we know, was persecuted himself. We know that Saul was imprisoned and eventually put to death, but he answered the call of God. And maybe there's someone listening to me today that God has been speaking to your heart, and you need to answer the call that God has put on your heart. You need to get down and say, "Here am I, Lord. Use me. Send me. Show me what you want me to do." And you know what? Sometimes it may not be what you think it's going to be. He doesn't call everybody to be a preacher. He doesn't call everybody to be a missionary. But He does call us to do various things for His kingdom. And if we will be obedient, God will bless us. God will use us. And maybe you're listening to me today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I don't want to close this out today until I've given you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. So if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to say, "Is this something I need to do?" Yes, it is. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. How do I do it? You simply ask Him to come into your heart. You feel that conviction as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and to your life today. And you simply ask, "Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Cover them by the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. And Father, I thank You for sending Jesus to die for my sins in my place, that I could have eternal life, and that I could have eternal life in Your presence." And if you'll ask Him to do that today, with all sincerity of heart, not just something that you flippantly say, but you say it with sincerity of heart, believing what you're doing, He'll come into your heart. He'll forgive you your sins. He'll save you. And then listen for the voice of God. And when God speaks, be ready to reply, "Here am I."
You have been listening to Messages on Demand. If you have been blessed by this message, please let us know. You may contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us. Again, that's pastor@tlhf.us. Or by clicking on the Contact Us button on the homepage of our website, www.tlhf.us. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production, a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship. Thank you.